Yes, welcome along to the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire. Sam and Tom with you for the next hour. We shall be crossing over to Bramall Lane later. Tom Feeney down there for us. But for now, it's all about just one Tom and Mr. Tom Carnduff. All right, Tom?
Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, really good. You've been very excited about today's show.
Yes.
We've got lots to come, including, I don't know if we can describe it as a new feature as such, but I'm going to give you it. It's your third feature.
Can we class it as a feature? Because I don't know. It's difficult. It got me thinking, because this come from the St Johnston advert. I don't know if you've seen it by what they called Eiffel. I can't remember, but the blue song, and obviously St Johnston wear blue, and it's in a big effort to get their fans to all wear blue to this game. And it's a terrible advert. It's a kind of horrible. It's all the players lip syncing, and you can tell they really don't want to do this. And it got me thinking about the worst kind of marketing / adverts that football teams have done. Asked people for suggestions, did a bit of research yourself, and found some very funny, interesting ones.
Excellent. Are we sharing them now, or should we do it a little bit later? Are we teasing this up?
Should we do a little bit later? Right, there's been some good ones.
There is very good ones. Yeah, when you mentioned it, one in particular sprung to mind. Has it made your list?
It has.
Excellent. Possibly the best. You need the visuals as well for that one. It's not just about.
We'll tweet them out as we go along when we talk about it.
We'll tweet them as we go. But we'll kick off with Yorkshire news tonight, and well, topping the bill in Tom's list is Barnsley, and beating Leeds United, of course, in that Saturday evening kickoff, a Yorkshire derby, a thriller of a Yorkshire derby as well, and the Tykes coming out on top, another good performance for Barnsley.
Yeah, it's a highly entertaining game. I suppose if you're neutral as well, it's a good game for Sky to put on. There was a ridiculous amount of cards, goals, and it was a good game for kind of just the league, I suppose, to advertise it. But yeah, Barnsley, that I think it was 3 goals in 8 minutes, of course, either side of half time, especially the way they started that second half, really won the game for them. And yeah, it was an entertaining game in the fact that both teams had spells of attacking play as well. But of course, Barnsley came out on top, and yeah, overall it was taking the Leeds fan part of me away, it was quite a good game to watch.
Yeah, a very good win for Barnsley. That now puts them 4 points adrift of the playoff places, and they're just edging closer and closer to it. And the form is very good. They're picking up plenty of wins along the way. 3 defeats in their last 10. They've won 6 of those games, so the form is very good for Paul Hackenbottom's team.
Yeah, we spoke about this before, about whether they do potentially, or they do genuinely have a chance of playoffs. And you watched them on Saturday, thought they played very well against a Leeds team who were going into that in form, in confidence as well. When you looked at Barnsley's busy schedule, the extra midweek game, that Leeds had a couple of days more rest than them as well, and they really did show up, and of course got the victory at the end of it. So I think with the way the playoffs are going, everyone's kind of winning, losing at similar times, it's a bit difficult at the moment, but they could well break into it. It's just all depends on the incomings and outgoings, because they've already lost Winnall, and a couple more might be on their way out as well.
Yeah, very tight in that top eight. Barnsley now in eighth place. Derby County moving to within 2 points of Sheffield Wednesday, who are sixth. Derby seventh, of course, under Steve McLaren. A mini blip for them, losing back-to-back games against Norwich and, of course, Leeds United. But what a win for them, 3-2 against Reading at the weekend.
Yeah, big win. Big win against, like I said, a Reading team who have been in good form. Of course, we know where they are in the league. It's tight at the top. There was that gap that started to emerge. And, of course, with Leeds and Barnsley playing later in the day, it was a good result for them to get, because, of course, you don't know the result or the outcome of what that would be. But great result for them. Things look like they're starting to click again, starting to get going after what was a slow start. And the managerial change seems to have paid off for them. It's just whether it was kind of that bad start is going to come back to haunt them. You're not too sure going forward, but well in the mix.
And for Leeds, I mean, it was the first defeat in 7 games. At times, you do get it's a Yorkshire derby, of course. There's plenty of feeling. It's on the TV, but almost a mini overreaction to a defeat like that at times. There's plenty of look how far we've come, look how far we've come. Yeah. And it's not really necessary because Leeds aren't going to win every game. The Championship's up and down. And again, it was another close encounter in a game that particularly didn't play that well in.
Exactly. It's that, like you said, you're not going to win them all. You're going to have to lose eventually. And it's not like Leeds were hammered. At one stage, it did, when Hurricane, that fantastic free kick it was, I think, was the third to put them 3-1 up. Then you start to think, well, this could potentially get embarrassing, but they compose themselves again, of course, got the penalty. Whether that was a penalty or not, it's been up for debate. And of course, Mike Dean's been involved in a bit of controversy again, but they took the opportunity, they scored, and maybe could have got a draw out of it. They did have the chances, but hats off to kind of Barnsley's defence for standing tall and getting the win in again. What was an entertaining game.
Indeed, let's hear from the winning manager now from that game, Paul Heckenbottom, the Barnsley boss, speaking after that victory against Leeds United.
We demand a lot, and the players love it. They love it. They love performing that way. It's good to watch, high intensity, high energy, and when we play like that, a team's going to have to play well to beat us.
And the quality of the goals as well, that must have delighted you.
Yeah, good goal. Well, we talk about hard work, organisation, discipline, and that's us work on the training field, but we've got good players. We're good on the ball, got good quality, and that's what's won us the game today.
Obviously, people will talk about the Hourihan goal for a particular reason. Certainly, it's dominated discussion on TV. We all know what we've read about the transfer speculation. Some people might have been surprised that he was in that team today. Does that speak a lot of him?
Well, yeah, and he's a Barnsley player. So until the bid's been accepted, then he's a Barnsley player, and that's it. That's what we get paid to do. So at the end of the day, that's what he has to do. That's his job.
Do you expect him to remain a Barnsley player?
I hope he remains a Barnsley player. You know what I mean? Yeah. There are plenty of discussions with Connor. He's come a long, long way while he's been here. And hopefully he continues that. But money talks at the end of the day, and football is a business, so if a fee came in what the club wanted to accept, then there's nothing I can do about it.
Whatever happens, that's a special moment today for him.
Yeah, definitely. And he's had a few of them, do you know what I mean? He's won games for us on his own. Sometimes we've got QPR at home, for example. He dragged us back and we'd perform just like that. QPR got two goals out of nothing. And I remember Connor's free kick in that game as well. So he's had his moments, not just this season, but last season as well. So, yeah, that's why the speculation's surrounding him.
Well, you said you wanted to bring special games back to Oakwell. Obviously, this is a special game, but it's even more special if you can get a win as well, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I mean, all we can do is worry about how we want to play, try and go and do it and execute it. The fans come, they have to play their part, and they did today, both sets of fans. So it makes for a great atmosphere. In fact, it's on a live game as well. Everyone's seen a good advert for Championship football.
Is that as proud as you've been, Paul, with the disruption and everything you have had that have gone out and have turned magnificent performance?
Listen, I've said it before. How many times have you asked me that question in here with things that's gone off in the last few months? And I'll say what I always said. There's all sorts of stuff goes off that you never know about. Do you know what I mean? So there's always things you've got to deal with and be professional about. And like I said, if Barnsley players are getting the same speculation surrounding them next January, then the club's doing well.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
The Barnsley boss, Paul Heckenbottom, they're talking about that win over Leeds United at the weekend. We'll move on, Tom, and talk Huddersfield Town, who are now back up to third in the Championship. It's come at a cost for yourself, with your favourite ever manager, Mick McCarthy, getting beat and getting a little bit snappy afterwards as well. We'll hear from him very shortly. But Huddersfield, many people have tried to write them off over the course of the season, but they've stayed strong, stayed consistent, and third place at the moment.
Yeah, definitely bouncing back well from that defeat against Sheffield Wednesday as well. That, I think it would have been crazy to think at the start of the season that in mid-January we'd be looking at Sheffield Wednesday v Huddersfield as a playoff promotion battle. But it was, and they've bounced back well in getting that win against an Ipswich side who okay, they haven't been the best, but, you know, we all know what Mick McCarthy sides are like. They are capable of pulling results out of the bag. And, yeah, up to third again now, only, I think, well, it's difficult with Brighton having the game in hand as well, but it could be 8-9 points off second place. So, big ask, but they're not exactly out of reach of the top two, and they're really well into those playoffs as well. So, we always kind of say it, but you would have told that to a Huddersfield fan at the start of the season, saying you're going to be top six. I'm sure they'd kind of snapped your hands off to take it. So it's all positive, and as long as they can keep the wins coming, then who knows, they may be able to push the top two.
Reading also with a game in hand, which also takes place tonight against Fulham as well. So it'll be interesting. Could go ahead of Huddersfield on goal difference should they get a positive result, Reading. But maybe a good time, because a mini blip for Reading in itself. Back-to-back defeats now. We mentioned the game against Derby at the weekend, but they also lost to QPR the week before as well. So Reading are having a little wobble at the moment, Yap Stamps team.
Yeah, it's not exactly ideal with kind of the way the teams are going at the moment. I think it's been a bit of a pattern, really, when you throw in Leeds losing as well. There's been a couple of kind of shock results at the top end over the past couple of weeks. But, yeah, not what you need, especially we spoke earlier about Derby kind of getting into the right gear now. Barnsley as well pushing. And then even then, Fulham, Norwich and Preston aren't a million miles off the playoffs. So you've got to be careful that one of those teams could potentially poach your place in the playoffs if you get too complacent, which I'm not saying they did, but at one point it did look pretty, it did look happy. And, you know, it's difficult because I said this last week that I think if anyone's going to drop down, it might be Reading. But yeah, they've got to be careful because those teams just outside really are kind of sniffing for that place.
Well, a win for Fulham tonight would take them to within 3 points of Reading, move them on to 43 points, and within two of Sheffield Wednesday as well. Are Fulham potentially this danger team, the team that's going to come from the middle of the pack? They've been had a good season, really, given the amount of change over the last 18 months, but have been inconsistent. Are they the team you could see really getting it together?
Potentially. I think on paper they've got quite a good squad. I know the cliche football isn't played on paper, but they've got the team there to do so. They had a good start to the season as well. You cast your mind back to that opening day victory over Newcastle. They really looked like a team who would be capable of pushing the top end of the table. So it wouldn't really surprised me, I suppose, after coming on the back of a couple of disappointing seasons when they've dropped down from the Premier League, whether this could be the season where things start to get going again. And even if they don't make top six, it's kind of a positive platform to build on for the future. And, you know, I'm sure the fans want a Premier League return. And, you know, the way things are going, they're kind of putting the foundations in place to do that.
We'll see later on whether Newcastle can stay top of the table when Brighton face Cardiff. But a great win for Rafa Benitez's side at the weekend. And, well, one step forward, two steps back for Rotherham. Had a very good win against Norwich the week before, but then hammered 4-0 by the Magpies on Saturday. It's just a tough one to swallow, even though you know it's a game you're rarely going to get something out of.
Yeah, I know teams have, but like you said, it's going to be difficult. They did all right, I think, first half. It was a close encounter in terms of the scoreline, but when Newcastle, a club like that, have got the quality, I know Joe was saying it last week when he was here, that they are building for the Premier League. They're signing players that they know they can go to the Premier League with. So against a Rotherham team who wins are just a rare for them at the moment, very rare. They are struggling to get the results. You couldn't really see them getting much at Newcastle, but, you know, at the same time, a 4-0 loss, it was kind of expected, so I suppose they could have gone there with a bit of freedom. But yeah, like you said, like we've said over the past couple of weeks, really, it's just difficult to see how Rotherham are going to turn this round. They're now 9 points clear, or 9 points off safety. It's a big ask, and, you know, you got to be looking at the results against the teams around them, as opposed to the games against Newcastle, where if they do get anything, it's just a bonus.
Yeah, that fourth goal for Newcastle at the weekend, the 60th that Rotherham have conceded in the league so far.
It's incredible when you think
60 goals and we're not even out of January.
When you think, what, Blackburn have had 44, that's bad. Burton 37. Wigan, the team they're chasing down, 32. So that's almost half of the goals conceded that Rotherham have conceded. It's not good. And you know, when stats like that are coming up, when you're looking at the amount of goals conceding, it just adds to the how are they going to get out of this trouble, because you can't imagine there's going to be a huge transfer fund there. It just doesn't seem positive whatsoever for them at the moment.
A fan of symmetry as well. Newcastle still have the 33 plus 33 goal difference. Rotherham minus 33. Nice bit of symmetry, that.
That's quite nice. I like that. I do like that.
Yeah, it's stayed like that for a while as well. They've been neck and neck every week. As well. First thing I check on the table.
Perfect.
First thing I check. But let's hear from the Rotherham manager, Paul Warne, that now after that defeat against Newcastle at the weekend.
Unfortunately, which is unforgivable, I think. The set piece, we had more than enough time to get ourselves in a position. Shelby just like a quarterback, which I knew, put a good ball in behind. I think Fordy should have got in quicker. You know, I said it to his face. I'm a bit disappointed with him, but he's given me his all, so I'm not going to hammer him. And then obviously he's turned and put it in just before half time. So my conversation at half time is a lot different to what I wanted to have. And it was a psychological hit for the lads. You could see that. And they didn't start the second half as well. And they score again. And then the game, you know, is away from us then. I mean, as positive as I try and be, I couldn't see us scoring three goals all of a sudden out of nothing. So the game had turned and they've got class and quality all over the pitch. So, you know, I might be able to keep Shelby quiet, but can I keep, you know, everybody else quiet? So it was one of them, really, I think. It was, I'm not hugely disappointed with the way the lads played for 45. I'm a little bit disappointed. I felt like we dropped our heads after the second goal and then picked it up again. But, you know, obviously the result is what it is. I'm not going to pretend there's something else.
Before the first goal, even though, should you have had a penalty, do you feel, when Ford was ankle tapped when the keeper slid out and then he played it square and maybe Yates, he should have finished it off?
Yeah, I know. Well, I thought it was a penalty. But the thing is, he's honest. He didn't go down, but it's like it encouraged players to go down, because if you go down, you'll definitely get it. He might get a red card. The game could take a different path. But he stayed on his feet trying to score. And then Yates, he's done well, I think. And the keeper's pulled off a worldie. So, you know, it was a double whammy, because then obviously they went up the other end right on the death and scored. And it was a massive swing in the game. It could have been 1-0 down to 10 men, but it wasn't. It was 1-0 to them at half time at home in front of all their fans and that. And it was, you know, a good atmosphere, good game of football, but unfortunately we were on the wrong side of it.
From Wednesday to United, the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, welcome back to the FL72. I've just told Tom we're live on Facebook. First thing he did, little ruffle of the hair, The ladies are tuning in, Tom. The ladies are tuning in. If you have a comment about anything to do with Football League, anything we're talking about tonight, or the state of Tom, then feel free to drop it on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire. Of course, you can listen to the show as ever in the more traditional ways on DAB and via the website as well, radioyorkshire.co.uk/webplay, or visit us on the TuneIn app as well if you've downloaded that. Let's crack on now and drop into League One, Tom, and Sheffield United. They were beaten by Walsall the week before and dropped points again, only a draw this time against Gillingham. But again, it's just a slow. You get to the top of the tree and then a little wobble.
Yeah, a bit of a blip, isn't it? I suppose it could have been a lot worse. It was looking like they were going to lose at one point, but they did manage to recover a point. So again, nothing kind of to worry about, nothing to kind of panic about. But with Scunthorpe kind of, I think they've got a game in hand over them as well, Scunthorpe. So they could well overtake them if they do win that game in hand. So they've got to be looking at tonight's game. I know they've got, I think it's Fleetwood at Bramall Lane. It's going to be a difficult one, but whether they're going to raise their game to play in those top teams, whether it's a good team to play to kind of post a response and show that they are a team that are going to win the league. They have added in the January transfer window as well. So again, a mini blip. I don't think it's worth panicking about, or too much worth panicking about, but again, we talk about Reading and their results and the teams kind of chasing them. It's a bit tight towards the top of League One as well. I know they've kind of got that gap over Bolton, but again, Bolton, I think, have got two games in hand over them, so those could be coming in and the gap could be closed if they do win them. So a mini blip, nothing to worry about, but they've got to be careful that it doesn't kind of end up being a slide.
But they face a Fleetwood side rejuvenated under Uwe Rosler, and well, it's something like 14, 15 games unbeaten for Fleetwood. They're on an excellent run of form. So it's a tough one tonight, given just the last couple of results for Sheffield United. They'll be a little bit edgy.
Yeah, much like Sheffield United, you're looking at Fleetwood at the start of the season and thinking if they were going to go anywhere this season. Now, you said it there, that run that they've managed to put together has been fantastic. It's pushed them into, I think they are fourth in that League One table, and they're well up there. Be fantastic achievement for them if they can finish in playoffs, especially after the season they've had previously. So, you know, not an easy game for Sheffield United, but a good team to come up against if you do want to show that you are title contenders, you are, or worthy title winners. At home again, not easy for any team really to go to Bramall Lane and play and get anything. So I want to say that they should be full of confidence. They are the home team, they are a good team as well, but you know, it's not going to be easy. Not going to be an easy one.
And strengthening as well Sheffield United, so that obviously they've got a very good squad. But bringing the likes of James Hansen, it's only going to take away from Bradford, who are trying to get some new players in. But to sign someone like James Hansen, someone with a bit of experience, just to complement what they've got already, some smart moves from Chris Wilder.
Yeah, definitely. It's not kind of going out to sign a player that you know you're going to start every week. I think he's going to be a player they're going to look towards if they do need to get a result. You know, at the weekend, it might have been perfect for Hansen maybe to come on and to try and score a winner. So a great bit of business, really, when you're looking at kind of what they need, whether they do need someone to come off the bench to be able to win games, to get something out of games. So yeah, good bit of business. And again, it's not really going to break the bank in doing so. So it's kind of the moves that you expect from a team who do want to win the league.
Bradford also dropping points. The division's draw specialists, of course, they are now ahead in the draws table. 13 draws so far this season. It's very impressive. Another one at the weekend against Millwall. It's in a way kind of same old story for Bradford.
Yeah, pretty much. At least they're still in the playoff places. They sit fifth in the league, so not too bad. But again, speaking about teams before, you've got to be careful that it doesn't become a habit, because you've got teams, you've got Rochdale just behind you, Southend, Peterborough. Millwall themselves are within touching distance of the playoffs, so if they can keep gaining points on them, they are going to overtake and take their place. But you know, Bradford, it's difficult. Of course, they've strengthened bringing in players, but with the teams around them, who, you know, we spoke about Fleetwood hitting a bit of form, Rochdale, I know they had the result they did the weekend, but they've been in good form recently. It's a bit worrying that those teams could kind of pip them to it if they are going to keep drawing.
Yeah, interesting to see what they do in the end of the window. So James Hansen outbound, but then they are the lowest scorers in the top half of the table. Bradford, Bolton have scored a goal more on 35, but the rest, and when you're looking at these fine margins and goal difference playing a big part as you get into the last stage of the season, it's a problem they really do need to address.
I think they had this problem last season. I don't know whether this says something about maybe Phil Parkinson's style of play, that Bolton are in a similar situation, but they didn't really score that many goals for a team who were up there last season. And you know, I know there's goal difference, but at the end of the day, if you can't score goals, you're going to have to rely on your defence holding out, and that's what you need if you're a team at the top end of any division. So if they can kind of look to strengthen it, it's clear that, you know, the defence can do a job. They can keep scores low or keep teams out. So if you can get someone who's, I don't know, maybe is prolific in this league, is going to get 10 goals or so this second half of the season, then great bit of business, and it's really going to give them that boost going into the final running.
And dropping into League Two, and Donny, who are on a fine run of form, 4 wins in a row now, 6 wins from their last 7 games, just a draw in the middle of that against Mansfield. They are top of the table, 4 points clear of Plymouth, and going very, very well. Another win against Crewe at the weekend.
Yeah, I think, I know there's a long way to go, but I think unless there's going to be a horrific slip-up, then you'd imagine Doncaster will be back in League One next season. 13-point gap over Portsmouth in fourth place. They're going strong. They seem to be winning most weeks now. They said there about their four wins in a row now. It's all positive. It's kind of the start of that climb back up the Football League ladder a bit. Of course, they're in a Championship a couple of seasons ago. I think the expectation would be promotion this season, but if they can do it and win the League Two title as well, then it's fantastic. But like I said, unless there is a major disaster, you'd expect to see them back in League One.
Excellent stuff. We'll be back in a few moments' time on the FL 72. After the break, we shall be looking at the wider Football League news, including who may or may not be the next Nottingham Forest manager. We'll talk some Ipswich Town as well, just for Tom, so we can hear a bit of Mick McCarthy's voice. The unlucky, or not unlucky, it depends on your opinion, Southend Groundsman being sacked at the weekend, and also old Ross McCormack, what he's up to with his gates of his house. Steve Bruce, not very happy. We'll find out more and chat about it next.
Vodafone's biggest ever winter sale is now on. Treat yourself to great savings on big brands, with 6 months half price on selected pay monthly bundles, plus up to 50% off pay-as-you-go phones and home broadband connection fees. Discover in store or search Vodafone Winter Sale. Vodafone, power to you.
Term agreements and credit check may apply. Sale ends 31st of the first 17 while stocks last. Broadband subject to availability, acceptance and delivery charges.
In the Harrods Motor Group delightful winter sale, there's 2 years free servicing on all used cars when bought through finance. Typical APR representative 10.9. Harrods.co.uk.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
If you're watching the show tonight on Facebook at Search Radio Yorkshire, then Tom is getting a lot of love. Tom, what's going on? People asking for shout-outs and all sorts of stuff.
And what the people want, I think I'm the face of this show, to be honest, Sam. No offence to you, but yeah. So seems to be a lot of kind of interaction on the... better turn it down, otherwise you're going to hear... There you go, me in the background. Jordan Fisher asked for a shout-out, so... Should really give him a shout out as he does it. But yeah, tune in. Yeah. We're live on Facebook if you want to see our lovely faces as well as hear our voices.
Yeah, Jordan Fisher also loves you, apparently.
Who doesn't? That's it. Who doesn't, really? So there we are.
Yeah, there we are. But yeah, if you want to join in the conversation and the Tom Carnduff loving, then head to Radio Yorkshire's Facebook page, facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire.
This is going to get hijacked now. I've given one shout out, but yeah, we go on.
That's
we go
fine.
On.
We can live with that. Let's crack on then and talk some of the wider Football League news. And Paul Heckingbottom is the favourite to be the new manager at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, this was one that, having a look earlier, that's come out more recently that, yeah, Paul Heckingbottom, favourite for the Forest job now. I know they've approached elsewhere. I think they've been a bit ambitious in the managers they're trying to get. But, again, it just doesn't seem to make too much sense of why Heckingbottom would want to go to Forest when he's really in the middle of a project, really, at Barnsley. We spoke about them before. They're within touching distance of playoffs. Why would you maybe want to change that for Forest, who are in a relegation battle? They're struggling and things don't look bright for the future, whereas Barnsley's kind of the contrast. The club seems to be in a good place. OK, they've lost Winnall, and there's all the talk of Hurricane as well leaving, but you know, they've got a brighter future there. They look to be going places, and Heckingbottom's a vital part of that. So again, just doesn't really seem to make sense to me why you'd want to go.
Yeah, I couldn't fathom it. If he did go, obviously Nottingham Forest, with their heritage, a great club to be at if there weren't all the problems off the pitch, which of course there are. And the conversation of who is going to be the next Nottingham Forest manager, right? There's been this money for Paul Heckingbottom, but just looking at the list, and it seems pretty stagnant otherwise. We talked about it this time last week. Many of the same names are still there. The likes of Gary Brazil, Nigel Pearson, Gary Rowett, who let's believe was getting the job before the takeover collapsed. Ben Garner, an addition there. The West Brom coach linked with the job as well. But the likes of Billy Davies, who's now drifted, Nigel Clough, Oscar Garcia. It's you can't really see where they're going at the moment, and maybe... It's a fine example of the plight that they're in is that there aren't too many people screaming for this job.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't even know if kind of they know where they're going at the moment. Who is about that's going to really want the job. This is why they're making these ambitious moves. That's why they're going to Sheffield Wednesday and asking about Carlos. And you're thinking, why would he, again, like Heckenbottom, why would he switch that for Nottingham Forest at the moment, who are struggling? It's difficult to see where they're going to get a new manager from, and a manager that's going to kind of inspire the team and inspire the fans to kind of get behind the team. Because, again, like recent seasons, it's not a happy camp. It's not a happy club at the moment, Forest. It's just difficult to see a kind of bright outcome this season anyway.
Yeah, and whatever is going on and the thought behind trying to approach Carlos Carvajal, it just makes the club look bad.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what made them think that they'd accept that. Again, Wednesday are well within a chance of promotion, only their second real season of giving it a go. They made the playoff final last season. Why he'd leave that all behind for Forest? He seems to love Sheffield Wednesday. The fans love him there. It just seems bizarre. It seems bizarre that he would, number one, that the club would accept the move and the approach for him, and he'd actually then decide to make the switch. It just seems a bit crazy, and it seems to be whether the ambition's just too high, it's too unrealistic, or it is a case that they just don't know who to go for, so they just try and approach everyone. I'm not sure. It just doesn't seem to be too bright, the future anyway, at Forest.
Certainly not at the moment. Elsewhere, we shall talk about Ross McCormack. Newgate's needed. He's been missing training sessions at Aston Villa. Steve Bruce, very angry, has called him out in the press conferences. He's banished to training with the under-23s. So what's going on?
It just seems bizarre that, I don't know, I'm not sure if Bruce was a fan of McCormack anyway as soon as he got the Villa job, because as soon as Bruce kind of turned up, I think McCormack lost his place in the Villa lineup. So, no, I'm not too sure, but the whole Garden Gates thing, that apparently his drive gates wouldn't open or something, so he couldn't make training, and Bruce told him to hop over the fence and get a taxi to training or whatever. But it's just a bizarre affair.
I like the fact that Steve Bruce drove to his house just so he could take a picture of the gates. Just imagine looking out your window and Steve Bruce is going through your bushes.
Why didn't he give him a lift then if he went there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But come out. But again, it seems to be the end of McCormack at Villa now. He made the £12 million move, I think it was, in the summer. Seems to be over now. And I don't know. It's just difficult to see where he's going to go and what team is going to kind of take a risk on him for the price tag. Because it's not like you're kind of getting a cheap guaranteed goal scorer like Winall. He's going to cost a bit. So, I know it's a bizarre situation that's just going to lead to bizarre consequences, but an entertaining story nonetheless.
It's an interesting one as where would he be able to go now? It seems very out of character for him. He's always been a leader, really, he's been at Leeds. He was made captain at Fulham as well. They made a lot of changes. They had a young dressing room. He was one of the senior players that helped them pull through that period at the club. So to go to Villa and then just act in this way and seemingly not be too bothered, be very unfit, according to Steve Bruce, anyway, it just seems strange.
So I don't know if there was kind of any history there between him and Steve Bruce, because, like I said, as soon as Bruce kind of turned up, he dropped out of that Villa starting 11 and found it difficult to find a way back in. Now, whether that's because of these background behind the scenes issues, I'm not too sure, but regardless, it does seem that he will be leaving in this transfer window, because I can't imagine that he want to train with the youth team and not be involved in the squad whatsoever going forward.
Yeah, we are live on Facebook. Comment from Ian Thorpe, who says he will cost Villa too much to just write off. He will be back. Do you think Steve Bruce would have him back?
I don't know. It depends. It depends how they go about it, because it's kind of out of principle, really. I suppose if you've stuck to your guns and you're saying he's not going to play, then I suppose unless he demonstrates a kind of improving attitude, then it's going to be difficult to see. But I think they'll try and sell him. I think they'll try and just get some of the cash back. Even if they make a loss, then they make a loss. But I can't imagine that Villa, and a team that are kind of on the way back up, I suppose, in recent weeks, will want a player like that around.
Yep, if you want to get involved in the conversation tonight, head to facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire. The Tom Carnduff loving continues. Another quick comment before we move on. Cam Wardy, Jordan Rhodes has had a couple of comments tonight, people asking about him. But do you think he's worth 10 million quid?
I think so. I think when you're looking at the record you're going to get and the going rate for a championship striker now, you know he's going to come in and score goals. And I suppose for a Sheffield Wednesday, maybe for a team at the top end, I know they keep signing strikers, you can only sign so many strikers, but for a team who are aiming for promotion, as he showed at Middlesbrough, I think he is worth 10 million to that team, as you know he's going to bring the goals. So I'd pay 10 million for Jordan Rhodes to bring him to a team where you know he's going to get goals and he's potentially going to help with that effort to the Premier League.
So we'll have more transfer gossip later on before the end of the show. Let's move on and talk about your favourite man, Mick McCarthy. Ipswich captain Luke Chambers says he and his teammates have been letting down the gaffer, Mick McCarthy.
Yes.
Is he going to get the boot, Mick, do you think?
I don't know. I think if he was, they'd probably have done it by now, really. If they're at the FA Cup, the team's not doing too well in the league. The fans don't seem to be on his side anyway. And, you know, when I went to watch Sheffield Wednesday play Ipswich, this was a couple of months back, the fans didn't seem too on his side then. So I think if they were going to get rid of him, they would have got rid of him by now. But it's difficult. I think they should maybe stick with him. If there's anyone to kind of turn it around, and as far as to show in, not too many managers around at the moment, so unless a definite better option comes round, I think it'd be probably a bad time to sack him at the moment.
It'd be another one, not necessarily in the same bracket as Forrest, but
yeah.
You replace Mick McCarthy, you get rid of him, who do you bring in that's going to do much better with the budget and the size of the squad? But I'm sure you've only put that in so we can hear from Mick McCarthy. Of
yes.
course, they were beaten by Huddersfield Town at the weekend. And here he is, the great man, Mick McCarthy, speaking to our man, Liam Williams, at the weekend.
Mick, first of all, what did you make of that one? Frustrating, or you feel about right, the result?
She frustrating as a result about right. I thought we've been beaten by a good team. That's what we've been beaten by. But I think up until 43 minutes, there's not a lot in it. They had the ball. We didn't have many chances, but then neither did they. And we got done by a bit of a wonder goal, to be honest.
Was the plan more to stop them from attacking than putting them on the back foot?
Well, the game is generally getting the ball off them and stopping them playing, and then playing when you've got it. Our problem is we didn't particularly play well when we had it, but we did stop them playing.
So what did you say at half-time? Because obviously it must have been a bit of a blow to have been fairly equal and then be beaten by that goal.
That sums it up, really. But we had to be better with the ball, which we hadn't created many chances. But it's 1-0, and I don't think the second half started at any great rate either. And then they get a free kick, and the score from the resulting melee afterwards, you know. And unfortunately, that kind of put it to bed because we were struggling to get chances out of it. Although Jordan Spence, who I thought was good today, if we score from that, and who knows, it's fine detail.
Did you feel the need to make any tactical changes, either 1-0 down or 2-0?
I did.
With the sub? Well, before it went to 2-0, rather.
I did. If you were watching the game, you'd have seen what I did. So.
It just seemed a lot of long balls were still going up and the midfield weren't really supporting the two forwards.
Well, I'm glad you've done the analysis on it, but I did make tactical substitutions.
You went to a 4-3-3, didn't you? What did you think of Moore when he came on?
I went to 4-4-2 in the end as well, so I made two tactical changes. So I thought Kiefer did all right, actually. I was pleased with him. What is he going to do? He comes on as a sub, you're 2-0 down. He had a good turn in the box and didn't quite catch it right. He held it up a couple of times, he won a few headers. He's not going to... If he does that well, I mean, come on for 20 minutes.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. Thanks for that wonderful bit of editing.
What happened there?
But there we go, Mick McCarthy. Not just one tactical change you get with Mick, but two. He's worth the money, isn't he?
My heart would have would have died if.
What would you have done if? Because you love him. If you were the journalist in that press conference, if you were our Liam, it'd have bitten. It'd have gone for you.
Pleaded, don't do this, Mick. Come on, let's not end it like this. Come on, but. Don't know. I suppose that's just Mick McCarthy, isn't it? It's just Mick McCarthy always saying what he's thinking.
He's the manager. I'll do the tactical analysis. But I did enjoy that little exchange between Liam and Mick. And then the other journalist chipping in, so you went 4-3-3. Oh, we went 4-4-2 as well, pal. Excellent stuff.
He's nearly at the Louis van Gaal stage of bringing in a PowerPoint and handing it out to people, isn't he?
Mick has no idea what PowerPoint is. I assure you of that. Southend United, they sat the groundsman after the game against Bolton was postponed. Tell us about this, Tom. He'd been in the job for a long time, bless him.
Yeah, 27 years, if I can recall that correctly, that Southend United groundsman had been in the job, but they sacked him after their game against Bolton this weekend was postponed. Now, you can find the pictures online of the pitch. It seems a pretty frozen pitch. There didn't seem much that could have been done to keep the game on the surface anyway. But Ken Hare is his name. He was dismissed after the game at Roots Hall was called off following freezing temperatures overnight. So it's not exactly like this was the only game that was called off as well. But they said in a club statement that people generally lose their position as a result of not doing their job. The necessary decision surrounding Mr. Hare was a disappointment and, of course, not taken lightly. Very few people have been dismissed at this football club over the past 20 years. That even extends to managers. So they don't seem to be tiptoeing around it in the statement. But on the surface, it seems to be a bit of a harsh decision, really. I don't think there's as much that you can do if a pitch is frozen. A pitch is frozen, surely, that game off. Oh. That's it, isn't it?
That's what you don't know, Tom. There's lots of things you can do. I wonder what he did wrong. Well, he covering the pitch. Did he not cover the pitch? Did he not look at the weather?
It's interesting because they do have. They said following the postponement that covers and heaters were put in place on the pitch, but the temperature in Essex dipped to well below freezing, and the referee decided the game would be called off in the interests of player safety. First game they had to postpone at Roots Hall since January 2013. So it's not like it's a regular thing. I don't know, it just seems there might be more to it, but it just seems a bit harsh to sack your groundsman over one frozen pitch that I'm sure he wouldn't have just gone, I'll leave it, it'll be fine, it'll sort itself out. I imagine he probably would have done something to try and get the game on, but yeah, who knows?
Well, there we go. Yeah, a harsh sacking at the first fit. I just want to find out. We'll have to maybe wait for the book.
The book to come out.
Feature-length movie of such a bit of drama down in Essex. Maybe he'll end up on, what's it called, TOWIE or whatever. Let's move on and talk about Owen Coyle. And it's the Tom Carnduff second feature, the 30-second Coyle. Tell us about what Owen Coyle's been up to this week and the clip we're about to hear.
The glitz and glamour that comes with being Owen Coyle. Really, that's what he's been up to. They've 1-1 draw with Birmingham this week. They conceded early on, but they did manage to pull it back. And of course, Owen, he didn't speak as quickly as he usually does, actually. So this week was a bit of a struggle, but he does speak very fast and he does want to make it clear that he does have a point to make. So 30-second Coyle for this week. It's okay. It's pretty good, I think.
All right, here we go. This is the 30-second Coyle, as ever. See if you can count the words.
Well, what happened, obviously, we started with our two strikers right through the middle, and then we, because goals change games, and we gifted them the goal, and of course then they can sit back, they can players pop it up here and there. So what we had to do after that spell was just go and match up against them in terms of the same type of shape against them, and it worked a treat, because from there on in we dominated the game, and had we got the first goal, then of course we're the team in the ascendancy, and that's how goals change games. But to our credit, we got a grip of it quickly, and we all took the game to them.
Do you think he's listening or he's been tipped off? That was subdued.
I thought this because over the past couple of weeks he slowed down a bit, and a couple of weeks ago I did make that countdown video of him sat there and photoshopped him sat on the countdown desk. So I don't know, I'm worried. If he is listening, I suppose that's good, because we do love him on this show, so we have got a good listener. But yeah, he seems to have just calmed down, unless it's because they didn't lose this week, so maybe he's a bit chilled, he doesn't have as much to say. But yeah, a bit disappointing this week, wasn't it?
It took him a while to hit his stride, but you said you listened to the whole interview, which was 7.5 minutes to find.
And that was probably the quickest that he spoke at any point.
A disappointing 30-second.
Let us down, Owen.
Come on, Owen. Next week, you need to get back to it. Right. We have about 10 minutes left of the show. And next, we are going to cross to Bramall Lane. Oof. And speak to Tom Feeney, head of that game against Fleetwood tonight. The teams are in. Chris Wilder's made two changes to that Sheffield United team. We'll find out what they are next.
At Oak Furnitureland, everyone knows our furniture is 100% real hardwood.
And it's also 50% off.
But most importantly, it's 100% real hardwood.
Yes, but don't forget, it's also 50% off.
At Oak Furnitureland, quality and price are both important. So make sure you don't miss our New Year, New Savings, where everything's 100% real hardwood with up to 50% off. Don't miss out. New Year, New Savings must end this Sunday. Visit oakfurnitureland.co.uk to find your nearest store.
Change is coming.
Change your journey.
Change your routine.
Change your scene.
Change your crew.
Change your talent.
Change your fears.
Dreams.
Limits.
Theories.
Boundaries.
Memories.
Hopes.
Change your summer at ncsyes.co.uk.
What does £29 a month get you these days? With Virgin Media, it gets you... Get more bang for your bundle. Up to 50 meg superfast broadband with unlimited downloads. And our clever TiVo box for free view and catch-up TV. Just £29 a month for 12 months, including line rental. Activation fee £14.99. Search Virgin Media Bundles. Cable streets only. New customers on player TV bundle. Installation fee may apply. Standard pricing after 12 months. Subject to credit check and further terms and conditions.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. Right now we can cross over to Bramall Lane and get the team news ahead of Sheffield United's game against Fleetwood tonight. And we are joined on the line by Tom Feeney. How are you, Tom?
I'm not too bad, thank you, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, really good. The teams are in. A couple of changes for Chris Wilder. Tell us about them.
Yes, well, Sheffield United, actually the team sheet just been given to me right now. Two changes for the side that gained a draw at the weekend. And Mark McNulty, obviously his loan spell from Bradford City ending a couple of weeks ago, he starts tonight alongside Lafferty as well. So it's Lavery and Dunn that have dropped down to the bench. Three changes to Fleetwood as well. Now, the interesting thing, though, probably isn't on the team sheet. I've just seen James Hansen. He's actually been on the pitch right now in his Sheffield United tracksuit alongside Jay O'Shea. The deadline for them to be registered was yesterday at midday, so interesting to see if they will be available for the next game. But them two deals, I think the Jay O'Shea one obviously has been announced, the Hansen one, we'll expect an announcement on that very shortly.
Indeed, James Hansen, if you head to at @Radio_Yorkshire on Twitter, you can see Tom Feeney's pictures of James Hansen on the pitch at Bramall Lane. Both good signings for you, Tom?
Yeah, not bad, is it? What really shocked me with it was James Hansen was literally just stood on his own for a few seconds, and I thought the deal must have been announced. Checking my social media, nothing. So there you go, the deal done. And the big news, obviously, is, guys, we get £45,000 from that deal. I've had that confirmed. So a great money day for the Lions.
Excellent stuff. Will Geisley spend that wisely in the transfer window, Tom?
Well, I tell you this now, it has actually helped already to get Derek Asamoah in from Carlisle United. That deal being paid for by the money which is going to come in from the Hansen deal. So just little things like this make such a big difference for teams like Geisley.
Excellent stuff. If Geisley get 45 grand, what do the co-op get?
I was going to say, I think they were asking for the 5%, but we'll see if they get that at the checkout.
Excellent stuff for Tom Feeney. Thank you very much. Sheffield United in action against Fleetwood this evening. James Hansen is there with that deal set to be announced from Bradford City. Bradford also in action tonight in the Checker Trade Trophy away to Oxford. Swansea under-23s, they're the last remaining under-23 side, Tom.
Oh, no.
They face Coventry, and we've already been through the championship fixtures, which include Brighton hosting Cardiff, looking to return to the top of the table right now. In fact, before we do the marketing, in fact, I think it's time for Good Days, Bad Days, Tom. Yes, they've been waiting on Facebook all hour for this one. The Tom Carnduff fan club, they've been on tonight. Loads of comments for Tom Carnduff. There's only one Tom Carnduff. Tom, give us a wave, etc, etc.
Which camera shall I wave at that one?
You're on that one, yeah, at the moment.
Hey, there we go.
But yep, this is your original feature, the one that made your name. It's Good Days, Bad Days. It's where you tell us who had a good day from a team in each of the divisions and who had a bad day. So for this week, Tom Carnduff, give the people what they want.
So we'll start off as ever in the Championship. Good day for Wigan. 2-1 victory over Brentford makes it 3 wins in a row in all competitions, and it moves them out of the Championship relegation zone. Bad day for Bristol City. Lee Johnson's side struggling in a 1-0 loss against Nottingham Forest makes it 6 league away losses on the bounce. Going into League One, good for Oxford United. 4-0 victory away to 6th place Rochdale means that it's 4 away wins out of their last 5. And it's a bad day for Northampton Town. Again, this time a 5-3 loss against MK Dons means 5 straight losses for them. And then into League Two, good day for Stevie Evans and Mansfield Town. They secured a 3-1 away victory against Cambridge United, and that puts them 3 points off the playoffs. And then it was a bad day for Barnet. A 0-0 draw at home against bottom club Newport County means they drop out of the playoff places. That's Good Days, Bad Days for this week.
Excellent. Tom, thank you very much. We'll be back in a couple of moments' time where we shall squeeze in some transfers and we'll talk football marketing.
From the John Smiths to the Keith Mort, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 2-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted by 31st of March 2017 and registered by 30th of June 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Excludes selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Welcome back to the FL 72. Right now, we can talk football marketing. Tom, you set it up at the start of the show. This is because of a music video filmed by St. Johnson,
yes,
which is pretty awful, to the tune of Eiffel 65.
Yes.
Blue. It is terrible.
It's terrible.
It earlier.
It's awful.
It is awful. We won't play you any of that song to spare you that. And you've been asking for examples, really. Who has had the worst football marketing in history?
Yeah, this has really thrown up some surprise ones, that a couple that I forgot about. So you've got the St. Johnston one. The one you mentioned earlier, the Venky's Blackburn Rovers chicken advert, which is just so bad.
It was nice to watch that again, actually. It's
the acting is so cringy, and it's just not great whatsoever.
The worst thing about it is that Venky's chicken just looks inedible.
It doesn't look good, does it? It's not exactly like it's like more popular chicken alternative brands. But yeah, it doesn't look great. So that's on the list, because the Blackburn players really do look like they are struggling to enjoy it, despite kind of being forced into the advert. And then next is Leeds United, 2012, I believe it was. New shirt, new start is the caption of this. And Neil Warnock over Eminem, just chatting, acting really cool about a new start, a new season, and a new chance for him. It's awful. Awful.
And we have a clip of it. Here we go. This is Neil Warnock in that infamous Leeds advert.
It's been a disappointing season for the Whites after a promising return to the Championship last year. Expectations were high, and despite the changes, this surely has to be a season to forget. However, next season should be different as Leeds begin their quest for Premier League status.
You've all seen the stadium. You know what it's like to play for Leeds. It's an amazing place, isn't it? You've got to revel in the atmosphere. You know, the fans are absolutely fantastic, aren't they? I mean, what can you say about them? They've been amazing. And if you're good enough and you've got enough under your shirt, and I mean by that, I mean, have you got the desire, the passion, the commitment? Because as a manager, I need to know who's in the trenches with me. Forget this season. Give me your shirt. Who's ready to wear this?
Wow, there we go. Hope you enjoyed that. Tom's acting it out in the studio. So if you are watching on Facebook, you've had an extra treat. All the ladies that have been enjoying the Tom kind of loving that's happened on social media tonight. Derek Clark is in the studio. Tame Neil Warnock. Team talk that one.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I'm not too sure the Cardiff City team talks are along those lines, that's for sure. You've got to love Neil Warnock though, don't you?
Indeed. Tom, is that the winner? Is that the worst of all time?
For me, no, because then you've also got the Reading FC, they call us the Royals song, which I think was it was the owner's wife wrote it for them.
Oh, yes.
And it's awful. I think they play it before every game, but they made a video for it. I think so, yeah. Wow. They made a video for it. We tweet out on FBL72 on Twitter earlier today. So check it out. It's awful. And I think that's probably top of the worst football marketing for me. Anyway, it even beats Warnock and Eminem. So there we are.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.